Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
First, officials in Taiwan and the United States say China has built surface-to-air missiles on a disputed island in the South China Sea. Mario Ritter brings us the report.
The news comes as President Barack Obama completes a summit with Southeast Asian leaders in California. During the meeting, the president urged restraint and a halt to the militarization of disputed maritime areas. Fox News reported on images released by civilian satellite company ImageSat International. The report says the images show two batteries of eight surface-to-air missile launchers. It says a radar system has been deployed to the area called Woody Island. Reports of the missiles brought criticism from the U.S. State Department. A U.S. defense official confirmed the deployment. Taiwan's defense ministry spokesman, Major General David Lo, agreed. Wednesday, Lo said, "Interested parties should work together to maintain peace and stability in the South China Sea region and refrain from taking any unilateral measures that would increase tensions." Woody Island is called Yongxing Island in Chinese and Phu Lam in Vietnamese. The island is the largest of the Paracel Islands. It is in the northern part of the South China Sea, east of the central Vietnamese city of Da Nang. Woody Island has been under China's control since 1956. Vietnam and Taiwan also claim the island. China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi spoke to reporters Wednesday. He said Western media should pay more attention to lighthouses and meteorological facilities China is building in the South China Sea. Wang did not deny reports about the missile deployments after a meeting with visiting Australian Minister of Foreign Affairs Julie Bishop. However, he called them an attempt by certain Western media to create news stories. Wang said China had a right to limited and necessary self-defense facilities on its islands and reefs. This is consistent with self-preservation and self-protection that China is entitled to under international law. So, there should be no question about that, Wang said. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry disagreed. In reaction to the recent reports, the secretary noted, "We have said repeatedly with respect to China that the standard that should be applied to all countries with respect to the South China Sea is no militarization." China's claims in the South China Sea have concerned its neighbors. In recent years, China has built runways and artificial islands to increase its territorial claims. Alexander Huang is an assistant professor at Taiwan's Tom King University. He said the deployment was sending contradictory signals about China's future activities in the South China Sea. Huang said this is because China has repeatedly said that it would not militarize the disputed islands. At a two-day summit with the leaders of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, President Barack Obama spoke about the need to avoid tensions. It was the first time the group met in the U.S. Obama said the group supported a strong commitment to a regional order where international rules and norms and the rights of all nations, large and small, are upheld. He said U.S. and ASEAN leaders discussed the need for tangible steps in the South China Sea to lower tensions, including a halt to further reclamation, new construction, and militarization of disputed areas. Experts say actions by the U.S. Navy to ensure free navigation have not changed Chinese building in the South China Sea. Ross Darrell Feingold is a top advisor at DC International Advisory, a group that studies political risk. He said the action could show China's ability to deal with more than one major issue at a time. There is the aftermath of the North Korea missile test and nuclear test, the ASEAN summit, significant political change in Taiwan, ongoing domestic challenges, economy, corruption investigations, yet the Chinese leadership remains confident it can, at the same time, manage the international reaction to its missile deployment, he said. I'm Mario Ritter.
Next, Dorothy Gundy tells us about recent fighting between Buddhist monks and military troops in Thailand.
Buddhist monks fought with troops in Thailand on Monday during a protest against government interference. Television reports showed troops and monks clashing after the soldiers tried to stop them from entering a park in the Koh Phatom province west of Bangkok. Some protesters held signs calling on the government to name Buddhism as the country's national religion. Most Thais are Buddhists. There is fighting over which monk will lead them. The top candidate is 90 years old and being investigated for financial crimes. Last year, Thai Buddhism's ruling Sangha Supreme Council said the monk was not guilty of charges he had stolen millions of dollars. Critics say Thai Buddhism has been hurt by leaders who have many luxuries, use illegal drugs, and have improper sexual relations. Buddha Isara is an activist monk. He says, "We need to reform Thai Buddhism because it has become rotten." I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Pope Francis is completing a six-day trip to Mexico by saying Mass in the city of Ciudad Juarez near the United States-Mexican border. Jim Dressback has more.
Mexicans and Central Americans will also be watching with hope. For them, the Pope is their advocate for the chance of immigration to the United States. Pope Francis has said immigration is an important issue to him. When he visited the United States in 2015, he told immigrants, "Do not be discouraged by whatever challenges and hardships you face." The Pope is hugely popular in Mexico and where Mexicans live in America. Mass was broadcast inside a sports stadium in El Paso called the Sun Bowl to a crowd of immigrants and Catholics. Many lined the American side of the Rio Grande, the river between Mexico and the U.S., to hear the Pope speak. Following Mass at the border, Francis will return to Rome. I'm Jim Dressbach.
The World Health Organization has called Zika virus an international emergency because of its link to birth defects. But there is still a lot of work to be done to learn about the virus. Dan Friedel has more.
The Zika virus has become a major health concern for people around the world. They are worried that it could become a crisis like the Ebola epidemic. The Ebola virus disease killed over 11,000 people during a two-year outbreak that started in West Africa in 2014. Health organizations around the world say the threat from Ebola has ended. In West African nations, people now know how the virus spreads. They know its symptoms and can get help if a relative or friend shows signs of Ebola. Health organizations in West Africa believe they will be able to control and contain any future cases. Critics of the international effort to stop the Ebola outbreak say the World Health Organization and other agencies did not react fast enough. That leads people to wonder how WHO and local health organizations will deal with the Zika virus. There is not yet a vaccine for Zika. Mosquitoes spread the virus to human beings. There is already one difference between Zika and Ebola. The WHO already declared Zika virus a global health emergency. Governments around the world are taking steps to guard against the disease. In the United States, the Centers for Disease Control, or CDC, says there are more than 50 cases of the disease nationwide. All are connected to people who recently traveled overseas. President Barack Obama asked Congress to approve $1.8 billion in government spending to fight Zika. The money would go to the CDC and other health organizations in the U.S. Experts say the funding is a good start, but it is only the beginning. Financial resources are important for fighting viruses and diseases. Lawrence Gostin is a law professor at Georgetown University who specializes in public health. He says funding for research and disease containment is important for making sure the world is safe. Next time, we might not be so fortunate as to have something we can contain, he said. Tom Frieden is the director of the CDC. He said there still is work to be done in the way the world handles health problems. We need to build the systems around the world to find things when they first emerge, to stop them rapidly, and to prevent them whenever that's possible. One way to be prepared is to enlist drug companies to help in the fight. The Reuters news agency reports that major pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, Merck, and Johnson & Johnson are evaluating their technology and existing vaccines to see if they can help fight Zika. Dr. Julie Gerberding is the president of Merck. She says the big drug companies can develop and manufacture vaccines for a large number of people in a short amount of time. We are necessary, she says. Non-governmental organizations cannot develop vaccines and manufacture them to the kind of scale that we need. I'm Dan Friedel.
The recent death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia has some people wondering about the cause of his death. Christopher Cruz has the story.
People who believe in conspiracies or crimes committed by secret groups, are talking about the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Scalia died at a remote ranch in West Texas on Saturday. The lack of an autopsy and how Scalia was found led to questions of foul play. In Texas, a presiding judge does not have to see the body to determine the cause of death and decide if an autopsy is needed. After Scalia was discovered, the county sheriff and U.S. Marshals Service arrived at Cibolo Creek Ranch. They saw no signs of foul play, AP reported. The presiding judge ruled against an autopsy after speaking to Scalia's doctor Saturday. Scalia had a history of heart trouble and high blood pressure. Multiple media reports state that the Scalia family did not ask or order an autopsy. It was announced the day he died that Scalia passed away from natural causes. Some Americans believe in conspiracies, even when facts prove the conspiracies wrong. Some conservative members of the media called for a murder investigation. They asked for toxicology tests and an autopsy to determine the cause of Scalia's death. Media outlets including CNN, The Washington Post, National Public Radio, and Time magazine have published stories about a possible conspiracy. Scalia will lie in repose in the Great Hall of the Supreme Court of the United States on Friday. The funeral mass for the Supreme Court judge will be held Saturday at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. I'm Christopher Cruz.
$15 million registered voters in Uganda will go to the polls to elect a president, parliament, and local officials. Current President Yoweri Museveni faces two opposition candidates, Kizza Besigye and Amama Mbabazi. Museveni took over Uganda in 1986 by force after a civil war. Before that, the country was controlled by a series of dictators, including Idi Amin. Amin ruled the country in the 1970s. Museveni won his first election in 1996. Observers who follow elections around the world say Uganda does not have a free election process. They say the country's elections are manipulated and opposition candidates are not free to campaign. For example, just 3 days before the election, Besigye was detained for a short time. The BBC reports that police said he was disrupting traffic on his way to a campaign event. Freedom House is a pro-democracy organization that monitors elections around the world. The organization releases a report called Freedom in the World each year. In 2015, Uganda was rated not free and was given a score of 6 for political rights. 7 is the worst score. But a team of recent computer science graduates from Makerere University is hoping their new app called ePoll will be able to change that. The developers say the app is supposed to make elections more fair. It compares the number of voters at polling places with official numbers announced by Uganda's Electoral Commission. Observers are looking for a difference between the number of votes and the number of voters reported by the polls. If there is a difference, the election results could be challenged. Shafiq Kwama is one of the developers. He says an election tracking app seemed like a good way to help his country. The developers say the time it takes to certify the election in Uganda permits those in power to rig the election. They believe their app can help make election results more clear. Kwama says election results from each polling place pass through a number of stages before they reach the Electoral Commission. ePoll sends election data straight from the polling place to the tally center, Kwama says. There is another way officials in Uganda hope to make this year's election more transparent. A system that uses biometrics or a person's physical characteristics is in place to confirm voters' identities. Those characteristics include fingerprints, faces, and the retina of the eye. A scanner can read those characteristics and confirm identities.
This is What's Trending Today. The Grammy Awards honor the best music each year in America. This year's awards were given Monday night in Los Angeles. Paul McCartney was one of the Beatles, an early rock and roll group that some say is the greatest of all time. McCartney has 18 Grammy Awards. Some of his songs with the Beatles are Let It Be, Hey Jude, and Can't Buy Me Love. He even had the honor of recording the sound effects for Valentine's Day-themed Lovemojis for Skype. McCartney is the definition of a living legend. On the night of this year's Grammys, he wanted to party with everyone else. And for good reason, he usually gets into any music event he wants. But on Monday night, he was turned away from an event for younger celebrities. The rapper Tyga was performing at a club called The Argyle. The club was full, the doorman said. The celebrity news website TMZ captured the conversation on video. McCartney was with famous musicians Beck and Taylor Hawkins of the Foo Fighters. Listen to the conversation. How VIP do we gotta get? McCartney asks. In English, when someone says VIP, it stands for very important person. A VIP could be the president or a famous singer like McCartney. Then McCartney says, "We need another hit, guys. We need another hit. Work on it." Beck says, "Next year, next year." And they walk away laughing. A hit is another term for a successful song or record. For example, the music magazine Billboard says the first Beatles hit was I Want to Hold Your Hand in 1964. The Beatles had 20 number one songs. The video has many people talking. And even Tyga says he would not have prevented McCartney from entering if he had known the singer was outside. But after all this, McCartney and his friends turned up at another party hosted by Republic Records, where they were welcomed by everyone. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
A new phone application uses vibrations from smartphones to alert people about earthquakes. Kathleen Strzok tells us more.
The phone app recognizes sudden shaking of the Earth's surface through sensors in smartphones. The new app is called MyShake. It is the work of four researchers at the University of California, Berkeley. They said they created a worldwide warning system that would inform people and give them time to prepare. Other earthquake apps include QuakeFeed, Quakes, and Earthquake. They show where earthquakes have happened, at what strength, and the aftershocks. Those use data from the U.S. Geological Survey. The MyShake app is available only for Android phones. Smartphones are equipped with accelerometers. These instruments measure movement like that of a car or airplane. They can also measure the shaking of a machine, building, or other structure. Accelerometers are used in activity trackers and apps that count steps or other exercise. They also are used in global positioning system apps, also called GPS. MyShake uses phone accelerometers to measure seismic activity. It has been programmed to know the difference between normal activity and earthquake movement. The software developers say their app is right 93% of the time. A smartphone sends seismic information to the app developers. If the developers receive several notifications from one area, it recognizes that an earthquake may be taking place or will take place soon. Using information sent from the app, the network then estimates the location and strength of the quake in real time. MyShake can record magnitude 5.0 earthquakes at distances of 10 kilometers or less. MyShake uses very little power, according to its developers. Only when seismic activity is sensed by the app does it become active and sends data to the network. The app works best when your phone is resting on a flat surface, like a table. The developers hope that MyShake can add to information collected by the U.S. Geological Survey. That U.S. agency has created the Earthquake Early Warning System, also known as the EEW. The EEW has deployed sensors for measuring quakes in many areas. In places where no such equipment exists, MyShake may be the only method of early quake detection. The app also shows ways to stay safer during an earthquake. The developers say it will become more effective as more people use it. Our goal is to build a worldwide seismic network and use the data to reduce the effects of earthquakes on us as individuals and on society as a whole, say the researchers. The developers say they hope to add a feature that would warn people about a possible tsunami or the huge waves that happen after an earthquake. I'm Kathleen Strzok.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.